You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 15 November. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Nick Kuntz, that Richemont numbers, just staggering numbers from Richemont. We're chatting Sappi on their strong results, dissolving pulp prices absolutely booming. And then Chantal Marx on making money off those record petrol prices. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management, authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb: Telkom burning through cash as warning signs pile up. This notwithstanding, they plan to spin out their tower business, but that cash burn is alarming. Business Day economists split on when the Reserve Bank will tighten rates. We've got an MPC this week. Will we see a rate increase this Thursday, or are they going to kick it into next year? Morning markets: US was green on Friday, S&P up 0.7, Nasdaq up 1%. Asia's green, Sydney up 0.2, and Tokyo 0.5% higher. Commodities red overnight, but they're still looking strong. Gold 18.62, Brent trickling down 81.34, Rand 15.30. Top 40 opening call about 280 points up, 0.4%. That as 10 cent trades 1.8% higher in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now on the money, also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Nick Kuntz, Senior Portfolio Manager, Sanlam Private Wealth. Nick, appreciate the early morning. That Richemont update, what was it, 6 months ending September, was just staggering. If you compare it to last year, but even they're exceeding 2019. They've had a really strong pandemic, which I got to say, I didn't see coming.
Yeah, morning, Simon. That's exactly right. And let's strip out the last year's numbers. If you look at pre-COVID, as you said, 2019, 2 years ago, revenue up 20% from back then, jewelry revenue up 36%, watches up 10%. And the one that got me, Simon, I think it caught a few of analysts, and a lot of analysts scrambling to redo their numbers, was margins. I mean, jewelry margin 37.9%. That is almost a new record. I think the last record was about 300 basis points in 2015. So almost back to new records. And yes, caught me completely off guard with this one. I didn't realize that the ultra rich didn't want to get on jets. They'd rather go and do their shopping at Richemont. But yeah, extraordinary set of numbers.
And does it, I mean, this is now what, a 220 odd rand stock? I mean, I'm just market cap, always an expensive company. I mean, you look at the PE, it's eye-watering. It always has been.
It's always been eye-watering, and also it's always been difficult to justify buying it at these levels. And if I add to that, Simon, also the fact that Mr. Rupert's never wanted to give back to shareholders in a hurry. Very low yield on it, very little dividend pays. I mean, we begrudge put together that ridiculous sort of loyalty option from a few years ago. So it's not one that you sort of rush into, but goodness me, the performance has been quite extraordinary. And I also think if you add into the fact that whole luxury goods sector, LVMH, Kering, Gucci, Burberry, name but a few, they've all had a really good run. As I said, the richer got richer and they've gone shopping. I also think the interesting one for this one as well, Simon, is throw in the fact that Third Point with Mr. Dan Loeb also taking a look at this, maybe shaking things up, also realizing that Mr. Rupert needs to do things. So I think they're a bit fun and game. Us. But yeah, end result is, if you reach one shareholder, congratulations. It's been a great call.
Yeah, and I'd forgotten about those weird warrants they had done all those years ago. A quick question. We were chatting around, friends and I, on the weekend around inflation. How do we invest inflationary times? The one point we came up with is businesses with pricing power. Is that a fair shot? Companies that can raise their fees as their input costs are going higher.
Yeah, exactly right. And the first thing that springs to mind is property, obviously, because you're signing a lease agreements with inflation linkers on them. Mm-hmm. And the second one, purchasing power, food inflation. If you look at your basket of what Simon has for breakfast in the morning, it's up anywhere between 30% and 50% year to date. And I'm talking across the board, from from the price of coffee to wheat and to the rest of it. So something like a ShopRite, something that really can pass on that food inflation. information. And then, you know, funny enough as well, I mean, we did a bit of homework on this. You know, one of the things that does really well in an inflation environment, besides energy, as we all know, but it's already run quite hard, is actually generally emerging market stocks because of the commodity basket.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you can just buy things, anything you can touch and feel, honestly, I mean, that is kind of where you want to play going into an inflation environment next year, which I think we can all agree that the Fed's idea of this transitory rubbish is a little bit political, because it's clearly more sticky than we think.
Yeah, I think the transitory one is totally out the window. I have oats for breakfast, 30%. Yep, I suppose it was off a low base. We'll leave it there. Nick Kuntz, Senior Portfolio Manager, Sanlam Private Wealth. Always appreciate the insights.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting with Steve Binney, SAPI Chief Executive Officer. Numbers out for the quarter and the year ending September. Steve, appreciate the time today. In short, a very, very strong set of numbers, and I want to get to that. But before I do, we chatted back in August, and at that point we were talking around the Durban port. It wasn't in that period, but it is now. Is Durban port back to normal?
Yeah, good day, Simon. Unfortunately, I'd like to say yes, but no, it's still presenting us with problems. Unfortunately, the combination of the global shipping challenges and then what happened in South Africa, specifically in KZN, and then, as we all know, the Transnet had an IT outage. Yeah. All of that has contributed to making things actually worse since we last spoke. And unfortunately for SAPI, that's meant that we have a backlog of inventory that's sitting in warehouses down there, all in for the group. It's not all South Africa. We have about 100,000 tons, which we've not been able to deliver to our suppliers, which is a huge number. And South Africa, specifically in the Durban port, that's 82,000 tons. And it's not that we will lose those sales. It's going to be a timing difference, but it's, you can imagine it's very frustrating for us at SAPI, and hopefully we're going to start to see meaningful improvement.
One of the areas you have, and in fact you were starting to see it when we chatted last time, dissolving pulp. I remember asking you if it was a contract or spot price, and you said it is contract on spot, but you could see it moving forward, and you said it would be better in the last quarter, and it's come through strongly, and particularly, I mean, North America as well.
Yeah, that's right. We have a lot of contractual pricing. And as I said to you last quarter, it is priced quarterly in arrears. So we do have a high degree of visibility. We're encouraged by where the dissolving pulp markets are globally. Demand has recovered very strongly since COVID began. And our customers are demanding maximum volumes. Interestingly, the logistical challenges that we spoke about earlier, like many products, that's making the demand for products and various raw materials, including dissolving pulp, has surged on the back of that. So overall, feeling good about the dissolving pulp markets, and I think prices will continue to be strong.
Yeah, I mean, part of your packaging, you do this sort of high-end product, perfume boxes, you know, expensive jewelry and the like. That's your US and EU markets to a degree. And certainly from what I'm seeing from sort of the luxury retailers, that market is remaining buoyant.
Yes, very much so. Obviously, there was a little bit of an impact during COVID, but since lockdowns were eased and demand recovered, things have been very good. And SAPI in recent years has been making substantial investments both in US and Europe to increase our capacity there, and it's really reaped rewards. And our packaging and speciality segment actually got a record high during the year, and we're very excited about the prospects for the years ahead.
Yeah, and I imagine, and locally you do into the citrus and fruit now. was chatting with Wandile Shlobo, agri expert, and he's expecting more good crops in that sector, which again will boost the local part of the operations.
Yeah, that's correct. When you look at all the forecasts for fruit exports and specifically citrus fruits, which a lot of our product goes into, the demand continues to grow. And in fact, you know, we have local domestic customers wanting more volume and wanting us to build more capacity to be able to package their products.
Okay, that is excellent news. What about input costs? I mean, we U.S. inflation data looking a little bit spooky. You know, Eskom prices in South Africa. How are you managing those? And are you, if they're rising, are you being able to pass them on to the customer?
Yeah, it's become a big challenge, like many industries, and on the back of the logistical challenges that are out there globally, we're seeing rising inflation across a number of our key raw materials. More specifically, recently, as you know, we've got a big European business. Mm-hmm. We've seen this surge in energy costs in Europe, specifically natural gas. And what we've had to do, and we've been successful at doing it, is having to pass on higher selling prices to offset that impact. Now, more recently, because of this in Europe, this energy rise, we estimate, and it's a big number, we estimate its impact on our business in the quarter ahead is going to be as much as 70 million euros. And because of that, we have implemented what we're calling an energy surcharge, which it's been able to offset that impact in the quarter ahead.
Is that almost when I fly sometimes, not at the moment, but you know, petrol's going crazy, diesel prices are high, the airlines charge me essentially the same?
Yes. Look, from a SAPI perspective, because obviously there's been this significant rise in energy, and it's extraordinary. It really surged. We needed to do something to offset that impact, and we announced a few weeks ago an energy surcharge. And the good news is that we've been able to put it through and it has not affected the demand for our product.
Okay, that is important because I was chatting with Mohamed Nala about the energy in Europe, and it's looking like it's going to be a really, really tough winter for Europe in terms of energy costs. We'll leave it there. SAPI Chief Executive Officer Steve Binney, really appreciate the time today.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Trading with Chantal Marks, Head of Investment Research at FNB Wealth and Investments. Chantal, appreciate the early morning. The note you sent out, I think it was just last week, petrol, record levels, hurts most people directly because we transport, we move around. But of course, it hurts us as well because our food becomes more expensive. All sorts of things start to grow up. And you were saying, hang on, there's ways we can make some money off these higher price. Locally, it's Sasol, and that correlation is fairly strong with the oil price. But there's some international sort of oil stocks that are also high on your list for when we get these record petrol prices.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's almost like a hedging strategy because you can't fully offset, I think, the impact on your pocket of the petrol price, and it's impossible to know exactly what that impact will be depending on how far you drive and how often you drive and all the rest of it. But I was actually looking at the prices this morning, updated to the end of Friday, and if you look at a company like Shell, which didn't have all the drama that Sasol had last year, so they were just kind of going through the normal cycle of Brent crude oil prices. Shell is up 34% year to date in rand terms, and the petrol price is up 35% in rand terms. That's almost exactly the same, which means that if you are investing what you would spend on petrol in Shell, you can basically offset the impact.
So that's a completely astounding number. I thought there was going to be some variance. It's almost absolutely in lockstep. So we've got the companies. There are also some. I mean, locally we've got an ETF or an ETN from Standard Bank, which tracks it now tracks the Brent oil price. That's SB Oil. But also there's an offshore ETF as well for those who've got the offshore. And then that's the iShares, and it's a global energy, or perhaps there's also the oil and gas exploration.
Yeah, there are a few options out there. So usually what happens when you are investing in an ETF that's tracking the commodity directly is you don't get any sort of uplift from any operational excellence that you would get typically if you invest in companies themselves. But it's very difficult to go and decide which company is going to do well specifically for that specific cycle. We mentioned Shell now, but Shell's been a relative underperformer. You could have invested in something else that would have made you a lot more money, but finding that is very difficult. Offshore, you have these ETF options available where you can invest in a basket of oil and gas companies. And the oil and gas exploration side of things also are quite exciting. And I think that your potential return there is probably a little bit higher over time. But you don't only have to track the commodity price exclusively. You can track a basket of those companies.
Looking at Brent, the price has come off a bit. It was, 86 or so. It's now down to 81 and a bit. My sense is that maybe the worst is behind us, but I don't think it's over. Certainly, OPEC hopes not. Demand is returning globally as we sort of open the global economy. We're a long way from seeing Brent back in the 60s, never mind the 40s, and negative's probably never going to happen again.
Never say never, Simon. The oil price is a volatile, volatile mistress. But I think that where we are at the moment, we could be for some time. I think you probably won't see much more upside in oil prices globally, just because it's so toppish and it's already factoring in that demand is going to be very high and supply is going to be slow to come online. What we can expect, though, is for oil prices to remain elevated for some time. And that is why I think it's so important to think about this hedging strategy in terms of, are you going to invest directly in the commodity where you might not get a lot more extra, or are you going to look towards companies or company ETFs where you will get the uplift from those big free cash flow margins? So they continue to print cash when the oil price is this high. And they'll continue to probably do well a lot longer than an ETF tracking the commodity directly.
Yeah, that's a great point. They're much like the PGM miners. They're making a killing, even if prices have come back a bit. And I take your point. Never say never, because I would have said oil can't go wrong negative. And well, I was wrong on that, wasn't I? Chantal Marks, Head of Investment Research, FNB Wealth and Investments. Appreciate the time this morning. And that's our poll today on our LinkedIn and Twitter. And talking around those record high oil prices and hence petrol. Are you hedging? Perhaps you are and making money. Perhaps you're actually just walking instead and saving the effort and the money that way. My thanks to Chantal Marks. That's it for today. Friday's poll, we were chatting with Charles Savage, Purple Group, and of course Easy Equities, a stellar set of numbers. We asked if you had been investing into Purple. Almost 80% of you said yes, and kudos to you. Just under 10% were saying nope, took some profits, and about another 10% said no, small caps for you. But that 80% to earn, well, truthfully, the 10% you've taken profits done spectacularly well. Remember, you can have your vote, you can have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter, both at MoneyWeb. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Nabuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.